the blessing. At a tent meeting one night, two fellers drove in, had their motorcycles, big old mufflers on there, made a lot of noise. Seen the tent meeting, thought it was maybe one of them gun and knife shows, and they pulled off the side there, made their way into the tent. Noticed there's people singing, kind of sat down in the back to listen to them. They were very talented singers. The Spirit of God was resting upon them as well. And the preacher made his way up to the platform, began to preach about Jesus. The two motorcyclers, they began to make kind of a scene in the back. Enjoyed the singing, didn't enjoy the preaching at all. They were preaching, the preacher was preaching about one named Jesus, who died for our sins. And that he rose again for our justification. And they began to make a scene, a disturbance. And some folks in the back there, meandered their way back to him, some godly men, to try to talk to him, to persuade them that they needed to kind of settle down a little bit because it was disrupting the whole meeting. And they went on to make more of a disruption, being lost men. Certainly they were not going to behave like saved men. They began to cause more of a stir. And they began to curse and yell at the preacher and at all those in the tent, and they laughed at him. And I'm certain there's a lot of folks tonight riding up and down Spruce Pine. And if they see your car back here, a little old metal building, to hear singing like this and preaching, they could care less and think you're crazy to do so. And those men got on their motorcycles and they spun their wheels and went off down the road and swung out past the 18-wheeler, headed into a curve, hard dog leg to the right. And as they did, they were still passing, just trying to get back into their lane, when they hit a Mack truck coming the other way. They were nothing but in the face of that grill. Tore their bodies all to pieces. Immediately, both of them went straight to hell. In fact, they hadn't even got far enough away from the tent. You could hear their motorcycle still revving engines and hitting that curve, squalling those tires, locking it up to try to keep from hitting that truck, and that truck trying to keep from hitting them. You could hear the impact in the tent, and that caused even more disruption. Some of the folks meandered up there, and they recognized quickly those were the two motorcycles they had just seen there at the meeting. And they could not recognize the men. Their bodies were so destroyed from the impact. But immediately their souls went to hell. When they left the service and said, "We don't need your Jesus and your peace that you preach of and speak of. We do not desire. God help. For I am very thankful that a loving Savior saw fit to save me, extend mercy to me, and I'm thankful that when the message came, I was able to heed that warning and go to an old-fashioned altar and call on the name of Jesus. And I am thankful until this day for God's mercy on my life, because certainly were it not for the grace of God, I could have been just like those two men, because certainly the first time I went to church and heard the message that Jesus saves and the Holy Ghost convicted me, I did not get saved that night. I should have, but I did not, and I was just as lost as they were. And if something would have happened, I'd have went to the same hell they're in right now. I want to preach tonight in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 22, along the lines that we've been studying for some time about the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to ask you to stand with me. We'll just read just a couple of verses. We'll allow you to be seated. Verse 22. See, a lost man will not exhibit this fruit. It's impossible for him to do. This is the fruit of a saved man because the Holy Ghost lives inside. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to be hid behind the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray, God, you'd help us tonight by your Spirit and your presence to preach with your power. God, I ask tonight, God, you'd teach us from your word and give us clarity of thought and clear understanding of your words. For we ask your help this night in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The word peace occurs in the Word of God 400 times. Remember that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years of complete silence. God never spoke to anybody at any time during this time frame. 400. And the word peace occurs 400 times. Let me say this to you. Perception. Let me say something about perception, and I want to tie this to what we're trying to already say. I've got this little statement that I mentioned about Bethel Baptist Church and other churches that I come in contact with, that perception a lot of times is truth. What people think about me, they think is true. And a lot of things you judge and you look at things and you perceive things for what you think they are, and to you that makes it right. But you don't know all the story a lot of times. You may make a judgment call off just the smidgen of evidence or a smidgen of pre- and really, perception is not really truth. But I want to say point number one tonight to the lost man. He has a perception of peace. He believes that he does not need a God in glory or a Son of God that died on a cross and was raised the third day. For the lost man has a perception of peace that he will live for today and don't care what happens tomorrow because there is no eternity. Life is only life while we're here, and you better enjoy it while you're here and have a big time. To the lost man, he has that perception of peace. But I wonder what the Word of God says to the lost man and his perception of peace. Thinking he does not need it, she thinking she does not need to be saved, that she can just go ahead and live her life and do her thing and everything would be just fine. I want to see what the Word of God says. In Isaiah chapter 48, I could tell you story after story of folks that I heard say they didn't need the peace that only Jesus can give. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see people turn down what Jesus has to offer. In Isaiah 48, verse number 22, and we will be flipping through a few verses tonight. Isaiah 48, verse number 22. Understand then the perception of peace. The lost man has no peace. You realize how many enforcement officers and army and naval and Marine Corps and all the different peace corps there is throughout the world that tries to keep peace today? And yet there are around 200 wars that are going on right now. We only know about one or two, but there are more than that recorded going on right now. There is no peace. In Isaiah 48, 22, God's word says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." You have no peace if you're a lost man. You may sit there and pretend and you get a counterfeit peace. You know what I'm talking about? Where you think you can go out and get drunk and everything will be all right and your problems will go away. That's a counterfeit peace and it's counterfeit joy. But in the morning after you've got drunk that night and you've drunk all your sorrows away, in the morning when you get up, you've got a hangover and your problems are not better, they're worse. The devil's a liar. Folks get on drugs and say, "Well, I'll just get wasted out of my mind tonight and I'll get high on drugs and get hooked." Just get on meth one time and it can addict you for the rest of your life. And take your life away. And you think you'll have peace, but yet you'll rob your mother, rob your daddy, rob the grocery store. You'll do anything, you'll sell your body to be able to get money enough to go buy a few drugs. Why? Because there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. This thought is recorded again in chapter 57.
Verse number 21, interesting that it's recorded two times. It's important if it's recorded once, doubly so, right? If it's recorded twice. Look what it says in Isaiah 57, 21, last thought of the chapter again. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. What about that? The wicked man, he does not have peace. He's troubled on every hand. In chapter 59, verse number 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Well, I'm telling you what, when I was lost, I didn't know peace. Thought I did. Basically, my whole life, I was raised in a bubble, so to speak. My mom and dad had sheltered me in such a place, raised in the house of God. I'm telling you what, didn't hear them talk about the preacher, didn't hear them talk about the singers, didn't hear them talk about the neighbors. I never heard them talk about finances. Never heard my dad ever say anything to my mom as far as fussing or fighting with her whatsoever. I was raised in a perfect utopia, a paradise in a bubble. I was raised that way. And when I started getting outside of the home, as I got up in school, and I began to see things that I was not ready for. And I want to tell you what, there is no peace for the lost man. There is no peace whether you're raised in a great environment like I was or whether you're raised in a bar room. There is no peace to the lost man. I remember raised up in that wonderful environment, but I was going to the very same hell the drunk on the bar stool goes to. I was going to the very same hell that the prostitute walking the street is going to go to. I was going to go to the very same hell that the homosexual was going to. And I had no peace. And when the Holy Ghost came that first time and told me I was lost, I rebelled and said, there's no way. My daddy's a good man. My mom's a good woman. I go to a good church. I'm not a drunkard. I don't do a lot of drugs. I don't do these drugs. I don't do this stuff. But I was lost in need of Jesus Christ. And you come up with every reason to declare yourself righteous in your own eyes. But you mark my words tonight. There is no peace. I would lay awake at night knowing I was on my way to hell. I could hear the chains rattling down the hall at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning thinking the devil is coming to get me. You may say, preacher, you was hallucinating. Preacher, you were so worried that you just heard these things. But I believe the night I got saved, it was actually my last chance to get saved.
Under conviction.
Just a young man at 12 years old.
Felt
but
like
it was my last chance to get saved. And I had no peace. At the age of 12,
I try to pray a little thought at the house.
Because
God
have
mercy to me and hope he'd go away. But it really took an experience with God.
I mean, just me and him. A transaction in the heavenlies that had to take place before I'd get saved. You won't just put a little, hear me. I went to the altar one time. A friend of mine was preaching. A friend of mine went down to the altar. I seen him go during the service, and God said, I want you to pray with him. And I said, Lord, he's down there with his boy, and he's not wanting me to pray with him right now. And God said, if you don't go pray with him, I'll not give you power to preach anymore. I made my way to that place, and I bowed beside him, and I saw where his little boy had cried a patch. It was wet all over his dad's pants there. And I asked his dad, was he saved? His dad said, yeah, I'm saved. And I asked the boy, are you saved? And he said, no, I'm not, sir. No, I'm not, and I want to get saved. And I started to pray with him, and out of my mouth came these words to my friend, the daddy, that said he was saved. I said, if tonight I told you you had cancer, and the only way you could get rid of it was to have surgery, would you opt for a Band-Aid, or would you have surgery? His mouth fell open. And I called his name. He told me his name, and I said, friend, sin is like a cancer. Sin is going to cause death, and death right then when it comes is going to send you straight to hell. And the only one that can deal with your sin is Jesus. He can wash it away by the shed blood of Calvary. You've got a choice to make right here in this altar, whether you want to put a Band-Aid on it, a new commitment you're getting ready to try to pray, or whether you want to get it dealt with and get it under the blood and forgiven and taken away.
Amen.
And he looked at me and laid his Bible down. It was in his hand that he clung to and laid it down there in the shavings of that tent meeting. And he looked at me and he said, Darren, I told you a lie. He said, I'm going to hell. I ain't got no peace in my life. And right then and there, a daddy and his son were saved that night when they called on Jesus. And I asked him the next day, I said, friend, did peace come? He said, oh, peace like I never knew. No more am I troubled about this old stuff about hell. No more am I troubled about what eternity holds for me. No more am I troubled whether my son was 14 or 16 or 23 or I'm 40. No more am I troubled. Hear me. There's not a certain age requirement that you have to be so young or so old to get saved. It's when God comes and deals with your soul. That's when you get in. Amen. The book of Ezekiel chapter 7, verse number 25 says this. Destruction cometh. Hear me. Eternity is just a heartbeat away for you, my friend. Just a few short weeks ago, sitting about on the fourth or fifth row of this church was a lady that's sitting here during the service. The choir had been singing. Someone came down to sing a special. And over in the row, she pitched right out, having a stroke. And only by the mercy of God does she still live today. And she could have checked out of here right in the middle of church. I'm telling you what, you better know you're saved. It's not going to save you to sit on these church pews. It's not going to save you to carry a Bible in your lap. It's not going to save you because you've been baptized. It's going to save you because you have had a one-on-one experience with Jesus Christ of the shed blood of Calvary's flow, or you're not in at all. Preacher, who are you preaching tonight? I'm preaching to you, friend. That's who I'm trying to talk to tonight. Destruction's coming. Hell is real. The judgment of God will fall. I'm reminded that in Noah's day, God said, start building a boat. And then when he started building, he started preaching to those folks. And he said, it's going to rain. Judgment's going to come. And they laughed at him and thought they had plenty of time and that he was a moron. He didn't know what he's talking about. But God said, get on board the boat. I'm sure they laughed at him and mocked him and made fun of he and his family. And all of a sudden, they seen that door close all on its own. Well, that was strange. Oh, but still, that's a strange bunch in there anyway. Then all of a sudden it began to rain. It had never rained before. And they put their hands and said, what is this mist? What is this dewy feeling falling from the sky? And all of a sudden it began to downpour and the waters began to rise. Destruction cometh. And then waited too late to get on board the boat there. And all of creation, all of mankind, all of the animal life, all the birds and everything died except for those that were on board that boat. And I'm going to tell you what, for in destruction cometh. There's going to be a judgment. The Bible said it's appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Judgment will come, friend. Amen. Preacher, you're not giving me peace. It's not me that doesn't give you peace. It's the Holy Ghost that speaks to your heart that's not giving you peace. If you're not saved, friend, he's going to trouble you. Destruction cometh. Verse 25. And they shall seek peace. And there shall be none. There's coming a day when you've waited too late. You'll get in when he deals with you, or you will not get in at all. Can I read another one? In the book of Romans, would you turn there with me? In the book of Romans. Chapter number 3. Verse 10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, friend, if you think you're going to get in because of your good deeds or because you've been a good person, it don't work that way. There is none righteous. Your preacher is not righteous. You may perceive that he is, but perception is not truth. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lip, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace, the way of peace, have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Understand this. To the lost man, he does not know the ways of peace, nor can he know them, because it's spiritually discerned when the Holy Ghost comes. It's the only way. Friend, I can tell you a lot of verses, and a lot of scriptures, a lot more verses than this. But I want to say the perception of truth, or the perception of peace, for the lost man is, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. I'll tell you something, friend. You'll need peace with God.
Amen.
If you're going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Let me say point number two. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He's the author of peace. He has a son. His name is Jesus. Back here in the book of Isaiah, it was prophesied in chapter number 7. Verse number 14. Prophesied that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what that means? God with us. This virgin's going to conceive. That's a miracle. Look over here in chapter 9, verse number 6 of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, to the lost man, he has a perception of peace. There's no peace to him. He don't think he needs it. You and I were on our way to hell. But here comes the Prince of Peace. God's authored him. Allowed him to be born of a virgin. He's going to come. He's going to live a sinless, spotless life. He's going to go up to Calvary's hill and give his life that a vile, wretched sinner that does not think he needs peace, no desire for it whatsoever, can one day have peace with God and go to heaven. Bless his holy name. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I've got peace tonight without end.
Amen.
And somebody says, I got peace like a river. I'm glad, amen, that heaven, there's rivers on this earth. It may get dry and they may dry up. But heaven's peace, heaven's river will never dry up.
Right.
Thank God for that. Of his peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Just in case you're wondering who this might be, look in Zechariah. Chapter number 9. Zechariah chapter number 9. Again, it's prophesied about this Prince of Peace, this Son of God, this Messiah. Who is it? Watch this in Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 9. He says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just. And having salvation. Hallelujah to God. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. You know who the heathen is? Me and you. Going to hell.
Amen.
No righteousness we have of our own. But he said the Prince of Peace will come, born of a virgin, and he'll speak peace to the heathen. Boy, he's never spoke anything to me but sweet peace. Amen. Well, preacher, he spoke about conviction. He spoke about judgment. Yeah, but those things were all there to give me peace. He wants me to have peace. Amen. That's what he wants you and I to have. In case you're still wondering about this one, the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm hurriedly trying to move on. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. If you've been saved, you know what it was like to have the perception of peace and one day get troubled by the sweet Holy Ghost that you was on your way to hell and you had no rest. There was no peace in your life. until one day you heard about the Prince of Peace. And he came and spoke peace to you in a way of salvation he made for you. Who was he? He was Jesus Christ. And you found him when you called on him to be more than lovely. Amen. You found him to be the peace speaker. And he gave you peace for the first time in your life. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says, now the Lord of peace, hear me, himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Hear me, there is no one else that can offer peace but Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I cannot bring peace to your life, but Jesus can. I cannot calm the troubled waters and the troubled circumstances in your life. I can pray, but when I do, I'll call on one who is peace, the Prince of Peace. Bless his holy name. Can we go back here to Isaiah chapter 53? I want you to see one more thought, and I'll try to close down for the night. I've got a lot of points and I'm not going to get anywhere near through. But we see the perception of peace. We see the Prince of Peace. I want us to see, thirdly, the price of peace. There is a price for the peace I have tonight. It didn't come free. Well, preacher, you got it free. Oh, I did. I did. But somebody had to pay for it. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Watch this. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our peace. We had no peace. Our peace was trouble. Our peace was going to be death. And my friend, he took our death. He substitutionally took our cross. And my friend, thanks be unto God, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. There was a price he paid. He shed his blood that you and I might be saved. He gave his life that you and I might be redeemed. Bless his holy name. That the only way we'll ever have peace is through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is peace in none other. And he paid the price. It was a price, my friend, when destruction comes, that you couldn't pay. It was a price that only Jesus Christ himself could pay. Hallelujah for that. What about Ephesians chapter 2, where we just were? Let's read that again and look at it in this context about the price of peace. In Ephesians 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. What was the price of peace? The blood of the darling, innocent Son of God. It would take no less than his precious, sinless, spotless blood for you and I to be redeemed. For he is our peace. I am reminded in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20. The price of peace was a price that only he could pay. Watch this. And having made peace, how did we do that? Through the blood of his cross. It took his shed blood. That's the price. Can I show you something in the Old Testament here? Numbers chapter 6. There's a lot of things in Leviticus that we love. We could point out about this fact, but in Numbers chapter 6, verse number 14, I believe it is. Every offering in the Old Testament pointed to the cross Jesus would partake of one day that you and I might be redeemed. Every little lamb that's blood was shed, all cried out and bleated out that Jesus would be the Lamb of God that would one day come, that would take away the sins of the world, that and that would be the final sacrifice that would ever be needed. In Numbers 6, verse 14, watch these offerings. He shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings. He was the burnt offering. He was the sin offering. He was the peace offering. I could go on and on and on, all the way back from the book of Genesis, all the way to where we are now. He is our peace. And there is peace in none other. The book of Romans 5, last one I'm going to turn to. The book of Romans chapter 5. The perception of peace. The Prince of Peace. The price of peace. For the people of peace. You and I ought to be the people of peace if we've been saved. We may not always act like it, but we should. In Romans 5:1, and this that's point number 4, and I'm not going to preach it, I promise. I'm just going to, one verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer I have to worry about going to hell. He may be a lot of things unsettled in your life. I'm glad there's one thing that's settled for me. He is my peace. Stay with me tonight. Your head's bowed, nobody looking. Might be somebody here. You've been coming to this church 25 years. Might be somebody here, you've been coming 1 week. This is the first time you've ever been here. I don't know. But boy, you need peace with God. You need peace with God. You need to get saved. You slip up your hand, say, preacher, pray for me. I don't have peace about salvation. If Jesus were to come back tonight, if death were to come to me, I couldn't say that I have peace, and I could not say that I'm going to go to heaven. Can you hear me? God's watching your decision. He's going to recall before you one day that He gave you this September the 10th night to hear the engrafted Word of God. Mention to you it was good. You were troubled that night and you would not move. You would not even raise your hand. Is there one here to say, preacher, I don't have peace with God. I'm lost. I want to be saved. Is there one? This great number. Let me ask you a second question. Might be somebody here say, preacher, I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved. But preacher, I have been troubled about many things. And I used to be troubled when I was a lost man, and I know what that's like, and this is a different kind of a trouble. But I ought to have peace like a river. It ought to flow artesian. But preacher, not. I'm troubled. I'm worried. I need the peace of God. I need God to give me that sweet peace. I need Him to speak that sweet peace to me. As they won this audience, you just slip up your hand. And say, oh, I want peace tonight about some situation. I need peace tonight about a specific circumstance or need. God sees those hands all across this audience being raised tonight. There's many, friend. What about you? Both of you need peace. Don't you be ashamed to say, Lord, I want peace. I need peace about a situation. You can just stick your hand up and you can put it right back down. I want you to look at me. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not. But if you're troubled tonight about something and you're really saved, peace abides. Jesus lives inside you. If you're saved, Jesus lives inside you.
Amen.
Then there's peace in there. And if we're troubled, what we need is to draw a little closer to Him. I'm going to tell you what. I've been troubled by a lot of stuff. I'd be the first one in this building, pastor of this church, step out and say, Lord, I'm a candidate for peace. And I'm going to stand in this altar and ask You for it unashamedly. I'm concerned. I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand, Maybe if you didn't, then the Lord's still dealing with you. Would you just come this altar? And I'm just going to ask you to stand right here as we have a closing prayer together. Would you come tonight? I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying, if you're a candidate for peace, would you come? Well, I don't want to be ashamed of the peace of God that I need. And I won't. I desire it. I desire it. Give you the opportunity to move. You mind him tonight. Preacher, if I go up there, am I saying I'm lost? If I go up there, am I saying I'm living in the flesh? If you go up there, you're saying you want more peace than you got. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, we call your witness against us and for us tonight. God, as we stand in this place, Father, we fear your name. And everyone, Father, tonight, note that there was not one person that raised their hand and said they were lost. And Lord, I'm praying and hoping they were honest with you about it. And God, these folks that stand here in this altar tonight, God, every one of them that I know of, they've claimed to be saved. They claim to belong to you. And they're troubled tonight. They need your help. They need you to speak to them. They need you to work out situations in their life and circumstances that they might have peace. God, I'm asking you tonight. Lord, I can't line up nothing or change anything. Lord, I cannot author peace. I cannot author it tonight, but God, I can pray for it. And God, I pray that you look down and see every person where their feet stand tonight upon this altar and in this place. As they stand here with tears in their eyes and tears from their heart, God asking you to help them in their situation and send peace their direction, that God, we ask for your mercy, that God, you'd look down and you'd see that, then it'd be well pleasing to you, and God, you'd extend to us mercy, grace, and peace that we need tonight. Peace like a river that we need tonight, God. Would you do that for us, which it is only you can do? We bless your name tonight. For the opportunity to call on you and to read your word. And we want you to know, we love you. Whether peace ever comes again or not, we love you. You've done more than enough. We have peace with God. We don't have peace with circumstances, or we may not have peace with a fellow man, and we may have worries and concerns, but tonight, God, if we're saved, we have peace with you. That's all we need. Lord, I pray now, you'd hear our plea. You'd do with it what you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.